purpose of this message this morning is to call attention to God's concern that ought to be our concern. It's not to make anyone feel guilty. It's not to make anyone sad or hurtful in any way. Hopefully, it will just call attention to our need to think about God's care about our giving. In a parallel account that Mark wrote in chapter 12 and verse 41, it says, "Now Jesus sat at opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much." Mark gives us a picture here of Jesus' concern for the treasury of the house of the Lord. He tells us that Jesus saw what the people gave. The word "saw" that's used here means to look at something with keen interest and purpose in mind. It usually indicates the careful observation of details. Of all the people that Jesus saw giving into the treasury on this day, one person impressed him. In spite of the fact that many of the rich put in much, he was not very impressed. It seems obvious that God is not concerned directly about the money itself, but is concerned about the heart of the giver. The great physician is always concerned about the spiritual health of his children. An unknown source said, "When you go to the doctor for your annual checkup, he or she will often begin to prod, to poke, to press in various places, and all the while he would be asking, 'Does that hurt? How about this?' When he pokes or prods, if you cry out in pain, one of two things has happened. Either the doctor has been thoughtless and he has poked too hard without the sensitivity that a physician needs, or likely there's something wrong and the doctor is going to say, 'We better do some more tests.' That is not supposed to hurt." Sometimes it is like that when God teaches us about financial responsibility. And some of us, as members of His kingdom, cry out in discomfort. Sometimes we'll criticize God's message. Sometimes we'll criticize the messenger. It may be that the messenger may have poked too hard and has been insensitive, may have been unkind, or perhaps there's some spiritual heart issue that needs to be thought about. If that's the case with us, we may be in need of the great physician. Because when God pokes at us with His word and prods us with His word, it is not supposed to hurt. Giving hard, God teaches us, giving properly rather, God teaches us, is not easy, it's hard. And the reason it's hard is it requires a sacrifice. A man named Landon Parvin tells the story of a miser who was called on by the chairman of a community charity. "Sir," said the fundraiser, "our records show that despite your wealth, you've never given once to our drive." The miser replied, "Sir, do your records show that I have an elderly mother who was left penniless when my father died? Do your records show that I have a disabled brother who is unable to work? Do your records show that I have a widowed sister with small children who can barely make ends meet? Do your records show all of that?" he fumed. The volunteer replied, "No, sir, our records don't show those things." The miser then replied, "Well, I don't give to any of them, so why should I give anything to you?" Sometimes that may be our attitude toward giving. In the Old Testament, we see the example in the life of King David. David had violated God's will in numbering the people. God gave him a choice. No easy choice. In fact, have you noticed that in life there are a few easy choices, but many, many very difficult ones? On this occasion, David said, I don't want to put myself into the hands of men. I want to put myself into the hands of God. And so he chose a three-day plague. And he decided, following when he was told to offer to God a sacrifice, that he would need to buy the threshing floor of Arunah on which to build his altar. David went to the man, offered him an appropriate price for the field, offered him the price for the material to build an altar. But this was the king. And Arunah said, I want to give you the land. I want to give you everything you need to make a sacrifice. On the surface, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? For someone to give land, to give the materials for the altar on which David was to present a sacrifice. But David responded by saying, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24. But when you look at the story of the widow's mite, that's what the rich men were doing. They were giving without any sacrifice. They were giving things that really cost them nothing. They were giving out of their abundance. Have you ever thought about that word? It didn't just mean they were rich. They were giving out of the surplus, that which they really did not need to use to live. So they were giving out of their abundance. It was kind of skimming a little bit off the top, where their level of living a pretty high life was way down here. They had a surplus, and they were willing to scrape off some of that and give to the Lord. C.S. Lewis, in his book entitled Mere Christianity, that perhaps many of you has read, he makes a statement that is very convicting to me in this regard when he wrote, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. People will sometimes ask, how much should I give? You preach about giving, you tell me how much I should give. And we would like for the Lord to say, this is exactly, with your income, with your ability, with your family, with your situation, this would be a perfect level of giving for you. But C.S. Lewis says, I don't believe that we can settle how much we ought to give. He then says, I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, he says we're probably giving way too little. If our charities do not pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be the thing we should like to do and cannot, because of our charitable expenditures would exclude us being able to do them.
$724, we give thee but thine own.
The story of the widow's mite shows us clearly that God cares about how we give. Someone has said, when it comes to giving, the attitude of the heart makes all the difference. And then they said, when I write a check for my taxes to the IRS, that governmental agency could care less about my heart's attitude. The IRS does not care if I give grudgingly or willingly or lovingly or angry or joyfully or sadly. All the IRS is interested in is the bottom line, just pay up. But it's not so with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, Paul says, so let each one of us give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We are told that this woman is not just a widow. She's a poor widow. And that word poor describes abject poverty. There's not a person in this room that experientially, I don't believe, there might be an exception, that I don't believe experientially that any one of us could understand what it means to be in abject poverty. And as we think about our lives, this woman was in very real danger of imminent starvation. She put in two mites, literally the smallest coins that were available to her to give was what she had. This note says each was worth about 1/100 of a denarius, or the equivalent today of 5 minutes' labor at minimum wage. Another writer, William Barclay, stated about this story, "The amount of the gift never matters so much as the cost of the gift to the giver. Not the size of the gift, but the sacrifice in the gift." As regards amounts, it really is not true, as the text states, that she put more in than all. In fact, Jesus clarifies this. Those rich people put in much. So we're not talking about someone giving a dollar and someone giving $10 or larger amounts, as you might think. But we're talking about the personal sacrifice that was regarded by the Lord in the giving of this widow. When it says she gave out of her poverty her whole livelihood, that conveys the idea of giving the means by which life is sustained. Though we have generous givers in this room, and you've thought carefully about what to give, as you think about the widow's mite, none of us is giving away our life's sustenance. We will have plenty. We will have much. Because most everybody in this room, in fact, I want to say everybody, but I might be overstating, we live out of our surplus. All of the others on this occasion, Jesus saw giving a greater amount, but they also had given out of their abundance. What they had given would never be missed. But what she had given was an unthinkable sacrifice. How important is giving? What should I consider when giving? It's clear from the story of the widow's mite that God is concerned about our giving. God so wants to bless us as a result of our giving. He so wants us to possess a heart and a spirit that is sacrificial. And he wants to give to us. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi was trying to encourage the people of Israel. And in chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, "Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." That passage is from Luke 6 and verse 38. We're going to sing a beautiful song. The words are unthinkably meaningful and raises a super important question. Following the song, we are going to be led in prayer and we will have our contribution. Biblical story as we think about closing our worship together. This one is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read verses 1 through 5, and I want to read from a one-man version of the Bible called The Message. It's not a great translation in the scholarly sense of the word, but it puts things into a perspective that many would think like. And so listen as I read 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. Now, friends, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in Macedonia. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors, however. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there. I saw it myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford. Pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of the poor Christians. This was totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea, and it caught us completely off guard. What explains it was that they had first given themselves unreservedly to God and to us. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. That's what prompted us to ask Titus to bring the relief offering to your attention so that what was so well begun by them could be finished up in you. You do so well in many things. You trust God. You're articulate. You're insightful. You're passionate. You love us. Now, do your best in this grace also. It may be that you, like the Macedonians this morning, are facing trials of different kinds, some of them quite severe. Theirs was financial pressures and all the other problems that accompany poverty they had as well. Yours might be a family illness or a personal illness. It might be family relationships or other relationship pressures. Or it may be that you are sitting here just indifferent to what God has to say with regard to spiritual matters. What would explain your generous gifts that you just gave to God today? Hopefully it would be the choice to forgive yourselves. Remember, the Macedonians first gave themselves, verse 5 says in 2 Corinthians 8, God has always wanted to bless us, but has connected the amount of blessings we receive to that which we give. God doesn't want your money this morning, doesn't need it, but God wants you because He loves you. We can't give ourselves to God apart from every possession that we have, and that includes our money. It is true. If you take a look at life, it is true that money tells us where our hearts really are. If Jesus watched you give throughout your life, how would that make you feel this morning? Jesus said in Matthew 16 in verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" This morning, we're going to sing a beautiful song, "What Shall It Profit a Man?" And there may be someone in this room who wants to give yourself to the Lord by being buried with Him in baptism, repenting of your sins, confessing that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Christ in your life. It may be that there is a person who has become indifferent and you want to turn that around and you believe a public response is necessary. Our hearts are with you. Our prayers are with you. And if you need to respond, please do that. Let's stand and let's sing.